This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. "As I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master." This expresses my idea of democracy. Lincoln applies the relevance of the Declaration's idea of equality to the most difficult issue of his time, racial slavery. The high ideal of equality has a down-to-earth application for Lincoln as a person and as a policy. And this statement, denying both polarities, master and slave, has religious and spiritual roots in the idea of America. Here's a little video where we can see Lincoln living his policy of equality both personally and as a religious person. He's walking in his shambling, clunky way. Lincoln walked as if he were still ankle deep in dirt behind a plow. Walking up the 2 miles from the James River at Richmond, Virginia, to the Confederate White House, just vacated by the Southern leader Jefferson Davis. We've looked before at this King of the Hill moment for Lincoln, and I want us to see how deeply it reveals his spiritual life. In this memorable scene, Lincoln arrives as a military victor. Richmond is destroyed and devastated by the war. The white government and most of the white people have abandoned their capital. The South is 5 days away from total defeat and surrender. There is no honor guard for the victorious president, only 12 soldiers in blue and 2 officers. Lincoln is holding his son Tad's hand. It is Tad's 12th birthday. As father and son walk, some white faces appear in the windows in stunned silence, and a growing crowd of black people come out to greet Lincoln. They shout their alleluias. Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey before crowds, is coming the next Sunday. Here a black man kneels before Lincoln, and Lincoln stops. He says, "Don't kneel to me. That is not right. You must kneel to God only and thank him for the liberty you will enjoy hereafter." Now, Lincoln doesn't just say this out of his own personal humility, and he does not say, "Don't bow to me," just because he's a disciple of Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence and Equality. He is saying something religious. He is saying, "Don't bow to me, bow only to God, and give God thanks for liberty and the joy of it." Lincoln is speaking here out of a 250-year religious and philosophical revolution, a revolution that had begun with his ancestors 6 generations back in England, leading to a theological and political revolution that became the seedbed of a new way of life and a new way of thinking about God and about politics, especially in America. The short of it was that Congregationalists in and around Cambridge, England, in the 1600s, asserted the idea that you did not need bishops to have a church. If you didn't need bishops, then there would be no kings as well, because the king, by divine right, by God, in other words, had always had the blessings of the church bishops. No bishops, no king. That was the Puritan congregational motto. So Lincoln doesn't need a bishop to tell these folks to kneel only to God and to give thanks. And he does not need to be a king in order to save the American Union. Along with this religious revolution, there was a philosophical one that said you don't even need God to have ideas about ethics. Natural law, not supernatural law, can be the source of the self-evident idea of equality. Lincoln's 2-mile walk up to the smoking streets of the defeated white slave power is a walk on a road that reaches back to the English Puritan Church and the Scottish and French Enlightenment philosophers. And he knew all that, and it fit him just fine. And it is a spiritual and a rational way of thinking that can also now light us down in honor, as it did Lincoln and his little boy, Tad, to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.